Beautiful song, choir, and speaks well of how God has blessed us and our nation. We need to be thankful each day for that. Today we're going to be looking at our second part of Satan's deception of God's word. And the scripture is Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6. I will read that again. And I shared with the six deceptions that Satan used in regards to deceiving Eve and Adam. Eve and then Adam, he chose to do what he did, taking of the fruit. And we are confronted each day with temptations in some way, and we need to learn from God's word how to use his word to defend against this temptation that Satan tries to move us into and try to get us to give in to the word or any other temptation that he brings our way. So I want to first of all read again the first six verses of Genesis chapter 3, which tells us of the fall of man. But God provided a way of salvation for us through Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Eve." You notice Moses used the word woman. Adam used the word woman. He used that when they was deceived. He said, "That woman that you gave me." It don't mention Eve. It just says woman. So we know that is Eve. "So indeed, God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst or middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die." He inserted that word "not." "For God knows that in that day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delightful to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband Adam, and he ate." So, looking at this passage of scripture again, as we did last week, I want to give a different twist on the introduction of this than I did last week. Going back to the Old Testament and how Satan used the Old Testament in his defense, and also when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Because the New Testament at that time had not been written or inspired at that time, had not been written by the apostles. And so when I thought about the Old Testament and Genesis chapter 3, of course, chapter 1, "In the beginning God created heaven and earth, and it was void. And everything that he made created was good. Even man, when he created Adam and Eve, he said, it is good." So, looking at this whole picture of Genesis chapter 3, If Genesis chapter 3 were not in the Bible, there would be no Bible as we know it. Why? I thought to myself, why? And it's because the rest of the scripture documents the sad consequences of Adam's sin and explains what God in His grace has done to rescue you and me. You think about that now. God had another plan, man's sin. Of course, He knows the hearts of all men. He knows our ways, our conducts, and everything about us. So by grasping the basic truths of this important chapter, chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, you can better understand. And I was thinking about some of the scriptures in the New Testament, and especially Paul's discussion of justification of faith. And he talks all about this in Romans chapter 5. In his explanation of justification, and even in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, we're justified by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you go back to verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 1, he said that God, he knew us before the beginning of the foundations of the world. So that takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And then in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that through this justification and Christ dying for our sins, and God knew us from the very beginning of time and knew the outcome of man's decision, that when we accept Him as our personal Savior, then we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That means we belong to Him. No Satan or anything that he tries to do or intercept can be done, because we belong to the Lord. And then also, Paul talks about and explains about the resurrection of the dead one of these days in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, Adam and Eve's disobedience brought sin into the human race, and we know that. But the Bible gives us no explanation for the existence of Satan and evil before the fall of man. So the fall of man happened just as the scripture recorded. And our Christian faith, you think about this, our Christian faith is built on Jesus Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. And we are given evidence of that in this same chapter, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. When Jesus bruised the head of Satan, or crushed it, but it bruised Jesus' heel. That means when He died on the cross for the atonement of our sin, He crushed the head of Satan through His sacrificial death. Now, from Genesis to Revelation chapter 21, from Genesis chapter 3 to Revelation 21, the Bible records a conflict between God and Satan, sin and righteousness. All the way from all these chapters, from the old to the new. It covers all these areas of the conflict between God and Satan, sin and righteousness. All these areas are covered. And it pleads with sinners to repent and trust God. And that's what we have to do. So in this message today, we will examine the last three ways in which Satan tries to taint and subvert the Word of God in order to deceive you and me, or any believers. So let's look at, first of all, Satan subtracts from God's word. He does that. He did it when he tempted Jesus. He did it in the Garden of Eden when he tempted Eve and Adam. So the question is, how did Eve respond to Satan's approach? Well, she had her own ways too. And I want to point those out to you this morning so that we, when we're tempted and so forth, let's not make up anything in our own mind to Satan. We'll just use the scripture, just like as Christ did. She responded by making three mistakes that led her into sin. I want to point those out because Satan is so crafty in the way that he presents temptation to us that we need to be on our best with the word and knowing what the scripture says about Satan, his temptation, and the world's desires and the deceptions of the world itself as we know it. So in verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, the rest of the verse says, she took from the fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, we're going to see the last three deceptions out of the six and the three last week, learning how Satan, he attacked Eve's mind by planting sinful thoughts in her mind. That's how he works. So, the fourth deception, as we look at it this morning, that the devil used on Eve was Satan fooled her into subtracting from God's word. Caught her off guard. And she probably wasn't thinking, well, I know what Adam said, and what now I'm hearing what Satan is saying. So, when he said what he said about you surely shall not die, then she came up with her own version herself. In verse 2, Eve omitted the word freely. That word freely was used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But Eve didn't use that word freely. God's original word in Genesis 2:16 was, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. And Eve left out the word freely. Now, as you read scriptures and you're very careful and looking at, you know, these are the things that you see. If you're looking at Genesis chapter 2 versus Genesis chapter 3, what God told Adam versus what Eve told Satan, you will see how you can be deceived so easily if you don't know the Word of God and if you don't trust in Him. See, we cannot take on Satan by ourselves. We have to depend upon God and His Word. Now we're going to see these three deceptions here. But God, again, original in Genesis 2:16 was, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Now I want you to think about that now. Now, we get the impression that Eve caught Satan's tricky suggestion here. God is holding out on you. He's holding out on you. He don't want you to have the best, so he's not going to give that to you. So when you start to question or forget the grace of God and the goodness of God, you will find it much easier to disobey the will of God. Now, For example, of how someone can distract from God's word, let's suppose that an individual knows about how the Bible warns that sin leads to death and hell. The individual might say, how can a loving God send someone to hell? See, God has never sent anyone to hell. Hades. They sin themselves by rejecting the grace of our loving God who sent his Son into this world to be the atonement because of when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. And they might say, I don't want to anything to do with a God that would do that. God does not do that and will not do that. So the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And see, we cannot pay that debt. Christ paid that sin debt for us because of sin. An individual lacking an in-depth knowledge of the scripture would tend to focus on that first part of this verse and delete the second part within his mind. However, the second part of this verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. Amen. And that's Romans 6:23. So God loves people. He loves you and I. If he didn't, he wouldn't have sent his Son into this world. And he gave his only begotten Son to die in our place so that we may have eternal life, according to John 3:16 and 2 Peter 3:9, that says, the Lord is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's you and me. That's everyone in this world. So when people want to believe the devil's lies, they often forget and they often delete the part of God's word that holds them accountable. See, we are accountable. In 5:10, it says that one of these days that we stand before God, we will give an account of what we have done, whether it is good or bad. So the scripture is very, very clear and plain of what happens if we fall into temptation and we yield to that temptation, which becomes a sin. All right, now let's look. Not only does Satan subtract from God's word, but we will find that Satan adds to God's word. The fifth deception that Satan utilized on Eve was Satan fooled her into adding to God's word. He added to it. He subtracted. That one way he would get to Eve to sin, and another way, then he added. We do not find the words, nor shall you touch it, in God's original command. And that's why I'm going back to Genesis 2:17, when God talked to Adam directly. God didn't say, touch it. He said, if you eat of it, you shall die. And they may have been there, but they are not in the record, according to original translation. So not only did Eve make God's original word less gracious, omitting the word freely, but she also made the commandment more grievous by adding or touch it. And that's Genesis 2:17, based upon that. So in John, 1 John 5:3, John says, his commandments are not burdensome. They're not, the commandments and God's word is to encourage and give us hope, increase our faith, and give us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Satan wants us to believe that they are burdensome, the scripture, and that he has something better to offer, which he has nothing to offer us but destruction. Or anyone that will listen to Satan, he will lead them down the paths of destruction and death. For an example of adding to God's word in a way that becomes burdensome, or it's enslaving others, is when an individual adds to his own interpretation of what a passage means in light of our own sinful plans. So God's word is only enslaving when it's added or misinterpreted in light of one's own sinful ways. That's the only way. All right, now let's look at Satan changes God's word. Not only does he subtract, add, he changes God's word. He's very deceptive in deceiving, trying to deceive. So the sixth and the final deception that Satan used, utilized on Eve, was Satan tricked her into changing God's word. And that's what he did. God did not say, "Lest you die." In Genesis 2:17, he said, "For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." That's what God told Adam. So the penalty of disobedience as present by the enemy did not seem as harsh the way he put it. Therefore, Eve could consider forsaking God's will, then obeying Satan's will, and that's what she did. So, I don't know if you've read many other translations and other religions and so forth. You have to be careful about that as well. Material that's handed out to you through various religious organizations, it's out there today. So we need to know what the true scripture says, true translations of God's word really says and what it means. So there's a cult today that has changed God's word in every place where Jesus is said to be Lord and has made Jesus appear to be lesser than God the Father. For example, in the New World Translations, I don't know if you know of it, you've probably seen it, but if it's Jehovah Witnesses that ever came to your door, that's what they use. The New World Translation. John 1:1 states, "In the beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Now that's what the New World Translation says. A God. Many of you know Dr. Harold Hunter, and I read a lot of his comments that he makes on Facebook and so forth when I have time sometime. And he addressed this very same thing. Someone came to his door, two witnesses came to his door and began to talk to him about their religion and so forth. And he asked them, did they know about the New World Translation and certain scriptures it used? And they said, yes. And he said, well, and he used this very same verse. Now, I didn't know this, but I'd already worked up this message and used these scriptures, and I happened to be reading that last night. And he uses, and then he asked him, is Son of God the Son of God? Did he send him into the world? He said, well, he's not God's son, but he's a God. So we have to be careful. That's how Satan twist is saying, a God, not God. He is the Son of God. And the statement, the Word was a God, should be properly seen and translated as the Word was God. Amen. He was God. Jesus is God. And reducing Jesus to lesser than God, the Father removes the weight and authority of God's commands and allows a person to pick and choose what they want to believe. And I feel for religions that do this, such as Jehovah's Witness or any of those who changes the Word of God. It's not God's translation, it's their translation. So, now, looking at the last one, living apart from God's Word. If anyone has ever changed the Word of God to say something that they wanted to say, then he is wide open for the devil's final trick, just like Eve. And this message is to be encouraging to each one of us, knowing that, you know, we are circumstances of the temptations that come into this world, or when we are born, and when we become to the age of knowing right from wrong. But knowing the Scriptures helps us to defend our lives, our spiritual life against Satan. See, he merely permitted Eve to consider the tree apart from God's Word. He said, get a look at it. See it really as it is. It was good for the food, a delight to the eyes, desirable to make one wise. You see, that's how Satan works. Eve had to make a choice. She had to make a choice, and she did. But she made the wrong choice. God's Word or Satan's Word? And she rejected God's Word, believing Satan, and then she sinned. The same thing can happen to you and me just as well. And you know, we're just as guilty. We're just as guilty. And when we yield to temptation. Well, in conclusion this morning, see, God accomplishes his will on earth through truth. The Word of God is truth. If you want to know truth, read God's Word. Everything that we read, everything that's written, is not always true. Everything that we hear is not always true. We just need to be able to discern truth based upon God's Word. Satan accomplishes his purposes through lies, not the truth. The Word is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. Satan is lies. When the child of God believes God's truth, then the Spirit of God can work in power in your life. For the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. You think about that. But when a person believes a lie, then Satan goes to work in that lie. For John chapter 8:44. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies. Those are the words of Jesus. Read John chapter 8, and you will discover what Jesus said about Satan. So in the end, faith is God's truth. It leads to victory. But faith in Satan's lies leads to defeat. And never believe Satan, because he will always lie. If you know of a temptation that you are confronted with at any time, search the Scriptures and you will find the truth. God is the truth. And in our world today, you know, we want to believe and we want to trust people. We want to trust what we read or what we see. But we need to know what is the truth so we can be able to discern the difference. That's would be the key to our sinning or not sinning, or yielding to the to Satan's schemes in this life. This earth, this world is his domain right now. One of these days, he will be defeated. He's already defeated, and he knows it. But we have the victory in Christ Jesus, because he's the truth. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. And Lord, we know that sometimes the truth that we read and we study, Lord, can be hard to accept for many people. But for Christians, Lord, it's a blessing. And we need to lead people in that direction as we meet them and as we get to know them and understand their lives. And if they're without Christ, Lord, we can show them the right way, the truth. And Lord, I just, every day I pray for opportunities to talk to someone if they don't know Christ. Lord, I can point them in the right direction. And every one of us here, Lord, we have opportunity as we meet. We meet people daily. And we never know what their life is about, or what they're involved in, or anything about them, unless we talk to them and find out and say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Or you have a church home? We can find out quite a bit in 5 minutes if we just take that time. Lord, we are your ambassadors. We are your witnesses who know you personally. And I pray today, Lord, if anyone here doesn't know you personally, anyone listening live to our service this day, Lord, that you will help them to examine themselves based upon your truth and the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their life, that they may accept you as their personal Savior. Lord, what a wonderful gift of life, eternal life, when we accept you, your Son, Jesus Christ. Whoever's here today, whoever's listening, Lord, speak to them with understanding the discernment, decision they need to make. That's each and every one of us here today. May we accept your Son into our heart and our life. We praise and we thank you in your Son's precious name. Amen.